Welcome back to We're the Inspiration. My name is Nate, and this is a show where people with disabilities and those close to them talk about real inspirational stories, but also tell stories steeped in inspiration porn. Then there are some things in between, like the time my good friend went to the Grand Canyon, and he's here to tell that full story. Once again, Brian Brately, thanks for being the inspiration for another episode. Or should I say, Brian Bratwurst?
Yeah, absolutely, Nate. Thank you for having me on yet again. Always a pleasure.
So I've heard half of this story, and I don't know how much there is to it, because the part that you told me was kind of, it was meaningful, but it was very brief. And first of all, I got to ask you, you know, because my cousin got involved a little bit only because she knew the superintendent of the Grand Canyon. And I gave you his email, and I'm wondering if you emailed him.
We actually didn't email him. So around St. Patrick's Day, we actually left to go out to Arizona for a week, my wife and, you know, Ellen and I. And she missed a calling as a event planner or travel agent or, you know, something like that, because we've gone on a few trips, and she's done the itinerary for them. And one of the stops that we made was the Grand Canyon. And, you know, we're like, we don't know what we're doing, so we'll, you know, do one of these tours. That way we have a guide and can drive us there and tell us all the different things about the canyon and whatnot. It was interesting because as we were doing this, we were filling all the information out and said that I needed a little extra help with all the walking around the Grand Canyon. And they basically told us that we were not allowed to bring our own personal belongings, such as wheelchairs or personal adaptive equipment, such as a wheelchair on their buses. And the one that I received was less than adequate, to put it nicely. It was missing a footrest already before, you know, anything even happened. It was made for somebody else to push it. It had no wheels in the, you know, on the side for me to assist.
What?
Yeah.
Wait. If it had no wheels on the side, how does anybody even push it?
So it had the wheels on the back and like the little caster wheels or whatever on the front, but nothing for me to, you know, grab onto to push.
So it's more like you're sitting in a shopping cart.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, during the tour, we had two or three different stops that we did. And at the very first stop, the tire tread for the one wheel popped off on me.
Oh, no.
And it was one of those where, with the tire tread off, even, you know, on flat ground, trying to get the wheel to lock it, the brake wouldn't work. So it turned into a little bit of a disaster. And we told the lady what happened, and she called whoever from their company to deliver another one, which had 2 foot rests and all tire treads were, you know, intact and everything.
And they pushed you in the canyon.
Still wasn't able for me to push, so Ellen had to do all this on her own. But it took 20 minutes for them to get to the second stop on the tour. And that cut into like at least half to maybe three-fourths of our time on this stop, just waiting for the wheelchair to arrive.
Oh my gosh.
So, but I mean, after that, at the next stop, everything worked out fine. And so they sent us a email a few days later asking for a review on how everything went. And I'm pretty laid back and easygoing, but I had been fired up internally, because Ellen was fired up externally and was letting everybody know that she was mad, which takes a lot. So
I would love to see you mad.
Well, it was
Not at
funny.
me, you know,
Yeah.
but someone else.
It was funny to me though, because Ellen was like questioning why I wasn't mad with the whole situation. And I was like, I am mad, but I don't have to be mad because of the fact that you are mad enough for both of us. And when I told her that, you know, I got that email, she goes, "You're forwarding me the email. I am filling it out for you because you will be too nice." And that's that. About a day or two after the email was sent out, I received a call, or it was a day or two after we got back, I had received a call from the lady who was like the head of Pink Jeep Tours out in the Grand Canyon. They're semi-national. They've got like five or six different locations, but the lady happened to grow up about 5 minutes away from where I currently live here in Ohio, and they refunded the entire tour and sent us two free vouchers for any of their other locations so that they can, as they put it, make up for the experience.
Other locations for what?
They had the Pink Jeep Tours, that's the company that we used. They have different locations around the US that they do tours in. So they said that we could go to any one of their locations and do another tour, and that it would be better than our experience this first time around.
You better not pick the Grand Canyon again.
Right. it was definitely educational, you know, tour and everything like that with the guide, but just the hardships of the wheelchair falling apart was enough to, you know, put a damper on everything and make it not as good that as it should have been.
I don't want to seem like I'm knocking the tourism aspect of the Grand Canyon, but even if you had everything on that chair they gave you except the side wheels, isn't there a chance you'd fall to the side while being pushed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that I hadn't thought about that before, but yeah, there would be a possibility for sure. It's funny 'cause in general, their definition of accessibility out there is 1,000 times different than anywhere else I've ever been in the US. So a lot more hilly and very, very steep hills compared to other places.
That's the thing about accessibility. You only really have to take it seriously if you're dealing with people that need it all the time. And I've never been to the Grand Canyon, so I don't know how many people who need those accommodations visit it, but I can't imagine it's that many.
This was personally my second time going. When we went out to Arizona for the Spina Bifida Conference, what, 10, 15 years ago?
Ooh. Oh my God. What an experience that was. This was in the middle of summer of 2008. And I remember that because one of my favorite comedians died that summer, like while we were there.
Oh.
Yeah. I remember where we were. Based on the fact that we were advised never to leave the hotel because it was so hot.
Yes.
And I personally didn't, but you know, on the way to it, I experienced things like seeing trees that were so dried out, they looked like they had exploded.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, you know, Arizona is a bad place. I just Based on that experience, I don't think I'd want to go back.
Yeah, and you know, with it was funny because it was the Spina Bifida World Congress, or I think that's what they're calling it now, that we went out there for, and it was geared more for those that are in the, medical field, whether they be the suppliers of, catheters or any other equipment that we use, or just the medical professionals that, like doctors and, stuff like that. So I
Well,
felt like
that was what the conference was supposed to be. And I think enough people just kept seeing the same old thing that, like, they either wouldn't register for anything and hung out with their friends for a week or just didn't go.
yeah. And I mean, I feel like definitely growing up, it was more for the social aspect. And after going for, 4 or 5 days to this convention or conference, whatever they called it, I feel like, it was a waste of time because there, I'm especially being slightly out of the, 18 to 24 range or 25 range, whatever they had, it seemed like it really wasn't helpful for me. And, more geared toward adolescents or, newborn babies or new first time parents dealing with a child with spina bifida. So it was
Well,
kind
the
of
kids and new parents were the only ones learning anything. So.
So yeah, it was definitely a downer. And, to see that it wasn't geared more toward adults that aren't in college and, dealing with working all the time, and, for those of us that are, in a relationship or married, trying to start families and, tips on that and, just getting through basic daily life.
So we got to mention this, I think, it's going to be a couple weeks before, well, it is a couple weeks now before you will have been married a year.
Yes. Yeah, it's amazing how time flies. And
Dude, I feel like parts of my life would be so much different if I didn't go to that wedding.
yes,
Yeah.
we, Ellen and I were ecstatic that you showed up and you got a lot of brownie points with my my parents especially. But I was like, as soon as I invited you, I was like, oh, there's no doubt he's coming. And
Yeah.
so, yeah, it's been a little bit of a rocky go over the past year with moving and my situation over Thanksgiving. So, knock on wood, we're in the clear and looking forward to celebrating that first year anniversary here.
How you feeling physically?
Great.
Yeah.
After, 4 or 5 days that I was down and out, I bounced back pretty quick. And, I had a few wounds that I came out with that I'm, one that I'm still dealing with, but
Yeah.
the other ones healed up fairly quick. So,
Those things can kick your ass, man.
yeah, apparently the morphine that they had me on while I was in the hospital, really did a number to, boost my confidence and self-esteem because I was like, yeah, I'm feeling great. And doctors are telling me my vital signs. And they're like, yeah, you're not doing well right now. You should not be saying you feel great.
Huh.
Only had a fever of 103 for the time I was in there, as well as a heart rate of at minimum 150.
If you hadn't survived that, Ellen and I would have to kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were a few times where she may have, made that comment, partially one because instead of going directly to an ER, I stopped at my parents to use the bathroom real quick before getting in to go get looked at, which in turn actually worked out because my parents set me up with my primary care doc.
Yeah.
They as they were taking care of me, their office staff was finding which place had the shortest wait time in order for me to get in and get looked at by the ER.
Not the most pleasant topic, but this is what I like. You and I talk all the time, and like we still find things to talk about on a show like this.
Yes. I mean it, I feel like we just have that synergy that we can, bounce ideas and topics off each other and just roll with it, and it just works out.
So, is there anything else you want to say about the Grand Canyon trip?
I mean, all in all, it was a great trip. We had done, a few other cities and activities, but yeah, I hope that my experience, they learned from it, and whoever else goes there that needs, adaptive equipment such as a wheelchair, that they either A, get better equipment, or from now on start letting people use their own wheelchairs or scooters or whatever the case may be.
Have you ever been in that situation before, like besides sports, where you're somewhere and maybe you're doing something special and they won't let you use your own chair or your crutches?
No, that was actually the first time that ever happened to me personally.
I'm trying to think if that's happened to me before. I don't think so,
There
other
were
than sports.
a few places used to not let me bowl because with my braces I can't wear bowling.
Oh, bowling shoes, yeah.
That would be the only other thing I could think of that would even remotely compare.
I think that I get away with not wearing bowling shoes because my feet would not hit the ground.
Yeah.
Because, I bowl not like often, but there are periods where I do it a few times, maybe, and I can't recall ever being asked to pay for shoes.
Yeah, there's sometimes that they've had me do it and other times that they haven't, so.
Right, so we got one more thing for this episode, and I told you, I think, once that we're going to try to get one of these in every episode. So this comes from Am I the Asshole on Reddit? But we're going to call it Am I the Ableist? Okay. Am I the Ableist for telling an ableist joke to a disabled person? For context, I have intrusive thoughts that cannot go away, and I also have a few family members with genuine disabilities. I am used to telling jokes with the understanding that everyone will see it as just a thought and not some deep harbored sentiment that I have about someone. To me, jokes are just for the sake of breaking the norm. So I was being introduced to one of my friend's friends who had a pretty bad motorcycle accident and lost his right leg from the knee down and lost his left arm at the elbow. We share an interest in tuning motors. I work on electric and he on combustion. So we were interested in seeing what we could do together. He has now refused to talk to me anymore because my first comment was, "You were riding that new BMW S1000, I see." He said, "No, it was on a Suzuki. I don't think BMW made the S1000 when I was riding. Why did you think that?" I said, "Because I heard they cost an arm and a leg."
Oh.
My friend about died laughing. I was trying to break the ice, letting him know that I was going to be just as brutal joking on him as with everyone else, because, we are just guys hanging out. He left the pub and did not come back in. I don't drink, but I do eat free peanuts while watch TV and hang out with my friends who drink. Anyway, he apparently is mad for my friend laughing at the joke and won't talk to him either. We literally joke on each other all the time. I figured this guy was one of us. Am I really an ableist, or is the guy overreacting to a friendly jab? I think this is really obvious.
There's, in my opinion, there's absolutely no overreaction on that.
Nope. Not a chance.
Yeah, I feel like that's way over the line with something that serious happening.
You can joke about a disability, but I think generally speaking, when you're doing it to someone specific, they have to do it first.
Yeah. It's
And there's no indication of how this other guy sort of looks at his own disability, but I don't think finding that joke tasteless means he has a bad attitude.
yeah. I feel like that would be an extremely traumatizing, thing to deal with, and that would take a lot to, a lot of time to reflect and be able to cope and deal with something like that. 'Cause you go from being, completely able-bodied and being able to do your own thing to having half of your limbs cut off.
It's obviously different for everybody,
Oh, yeah.
but it's not, as a general rule, a good idea to open with a joke that even that person knows might go over the line when you don't know somebody.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think we've all had that happen to us.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I've told you this story a million times, but at the conference in Atlanta, I had a little kid look at me and, look at his dad and go, "Hey, what's wrong with that kid?" All right, cool. It's a little kid who's curious and interested. And the dad was like, "Oh, don't worry about it. He's just not normal." So I feel like that might play a part in it too, is, just the way that an individual is brought up in their their family and like who they surround themselves with, just going for the jugular and saying, "Oh, he's outside the norm," which, I feel is a lot more common these days, and people just need to be accepting of it instead of, so closed-minded with different things. But yeah, to start off a conversation just shooting from the hip like that, I feel like you need to know somebody before, making a comment like that.
There are a lot of comments on Reddit suggesting that this person telling the story might be someone who feels like they can get away with telling jokes like that because I know disabled people.
There's knowing disabled people, and then there's knowing disabled people where, if you're around them all the time and have that kind of relationship with them, but
Yeah.
then just be like, "Oh, hey, just because I know somebody who's, in a wheelchair or whatever, I can crack this joke for any reason whatsoever."
That can really be said for any minority, but there's a clearer cut line when people are making jokes about other minorities.
Yeah.
Sad to say it, because this goes to the general knowledge of people with disabilities among the mainstream public. But if you have a certain attitude along with a disability, you could be offended really easily by something someone says.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying all of that is justified, but I think this was.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. So, Brian, I want to thank you once again for being the inspiration for yet another episode. Thanks to everybody for listening. Remember, we're on Facebook, Twitter, Discord, YouTube, and TikTok. Links are going to be in the description. Until next time, this is Nate Lurie saying you don't always have to do a lot to inspire others.